I know most of the choir was here for evening worship this past Ash Wednesday. Any of you here too? Yeah, a couple. We don't get huge crowds at that service these days. It's a weeknight, work night, school night. In the still wintry days of February, the sun sets early, and some folks don't want to be out after dark. Other folks find the reminder that we are dust and to dust we shall return depressing and choose to avoid it. Well attended or not, Ash Wednesday worship involves a pretty robust liturgy. There are scripture readings, a homily, a few hymns, the invitation into the discipline of Lent, an extended confession of sin, the imposition of ashes for those who wish to participate, and of course, Holy Communion. If you were here this past Ash Wednesday evening, you might have noticed a bit of drama. Namely, a child, oh, maybe 3 years old, who became mad during worship and wanted the rest of us to know it. I heard the temper tantrum begin as he and his family were walking away from the communion rail, and it just escalated from there. As it turns out, this little one regularly takes communion at his home congregation. But since the family was worshiping here for the first time, they were a bit confused about how we do things. And so they didn't offer any clear indication to the folks offering bread and wine on their side that the little boy should receive some. As I said, he was mad after being excluded from Christ's table, even though it was absolutely unintentional. I made a beeline for the family after worship, and after we sorted out what happened, I invited them all back up front for what I guess we could call an epilogue to our Ash Wednesday communion distribution. Everybody got some Jesus at that point. The Lutheran Church hasn't always welcomed folks to feast on Christ's body and blood at such a young age. How many of you had to wait for confirmation to take communion? You had to be, what, 14 or 15 years old by that point? And there were requirements, a couple of years of weekly instruction and an examination before you were deemed ready. I'm a Gen Xer, so I grew up in the era when fifth grade was determined to be the magical age to be admitted to the Lord's table. I don't actually remember my first communion. It would have been at St. John's Lutheran Church in Sharmanstown sometime back in 1976 or 77, but that's pretty much all I can tell you. I might not remember my first, but I remember a lot of other communion experiences in a lot of different places. I've reached out for Christ's body and blood as I've kneeled at an altar rail, sat on a log at a campfire, stood next to a casket. I've been beside beloved family members and elbow to elbow with people I didn't like so much. I've smiled when I've communed, and I've cried. It's been a moving experience, and sometimes not. How many times since I was 10 years old has someone said, "The body of Christ given for you, the blood of Christ shed for you," as they placed a piece of bread in my hand or a wafer, as they poured wine into a little glass or offered me the chalice to sip from. I wonder how many times those words have been uttered over the two millennia since that night long ago, when Jesus was betrayed, when he took a loaf of bread and a cup, shared them with his friends, and said, "Do this for the remembrance of me. Do this for the remembrance of me." Those are some of Jesus' last words to us before his death. It is the command he issued to his followers in what would be the final moments of his earthly ministry. But it's not a "do this," is it? Like a drill sergeant's orders barked to a group of green soldiers in boot camp. It's never been a "do this." It's a "do this." "Do this in remembrance of me," Christ says, "and I am with you here as host and guest. Do this, and your sins are forgiven. Do this, and you are fed, given the nourishment you need to live as my children, given the strength you need to serve, to work, to witness, to hope. Do this, and you are family. Do this, and your faith is nurtured. Do this, and you are joined with all of the saints of every time and every place. Do this, and you get a foretaste of the feast to come." I can't explain how it happens, in case you were hoping that's what was coming next. Those of you who remember your confirmation classes, perhaps you even still have some fragments of the small catechism in your memory, you probably remember that not even Martin Luther himself tried to explain communion. How is the crucified and risen Christ present in this sacrament, giving us his true body and blood as food and drink? It's a mystery. That's what we call it. That's what we have to call it. And that's why we invite youngsters to this table, the Lord's table, these days. Because they know, understand, recognize as much as we grown-ups can. All we can say is that something important, something special, something holy is taking place. A gift is placed in our hands and poured into the cups we hold. It's Jesus. The little boy on Ash Wednesday, he might only be a few years old, but somehow he knows how precious a gift we are offered here, that it's something not to miss out on. May we also. May we come to this table always and ever grateful to taste the goodness of our Lord. Amen.